Okay, hey everybody, I'm Chris Rett.
And I'm Jack Mottman.
And this is Three Blind Drinks. A very special episode, at least I think it is. Why don't you tell the folks what you've done here, Jack?
So I went on Mission Wine, which is the local liquor store that I like. I went to their website and I picked out four minis that I thought would give Chris a good run for his money. Try to figure out what they are. Maybe he can even discern more than it's a whiskey. So I picked four out, and then Chris and I had a heck of a time exchanging them. Because, you know, we didn't want to get too close to each other. And Chris decided he didn't want to get within like 5 miles of me. So
yeah, I believe I was approximately 30 miles away when you when you dropped the whiskey off.
So I handed them to a random grocer, and he said, "I will surely give these to your friend when he shows up," and he did.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well, surprisingly.
And he didn't even tell me. I was really worried he was going to be like, "Oh, this I really like it. Good, you're going to enjoy it," you know. And then I would have been like, "Thanks, man." But no, he did not spill the beans. By all appearances, he didn't even open the bag that they were in. So, quite the stand up gentleman.
Yeah, we should find the name of that guy, or at least that little corner marketplace, and put a link to it, because he was really nice.
We should, and the place was cool. And they didn't have a wide selection, but they did have some whiskeys. I ended up buying a Japanese whiskey, and I can't remember the name of it right now.
Oh, you bought one there.
That's a lot of help.
That was nice of you to do.
I did. I was like, this guy was really cool in just kind of blindly agreeing to hold this bag for an hour.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, man, I have, you know, 40, 50 bucks. Do you have anything I can purchase? And there are a few options, and the Japanese whiskey sounded the most delicious, so that's the one I got.
Nice, that's cool.
And indeed, it's good. I like it.
That's good. So I actually picked out four. So Chris is going to do the typical Three Blind Drinks thing. Mm-hmm. He's going to taste, sniff, smell. And I'm going to ask him questions. I know the order. Chris's wife texted me and asked what the order should be. So I decided that on the fly. And I will ask him probing questions, hopefully not leading too much. I have devised a riddle, though, for the end.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Because I assume you're going to know nothing.
That is a great assumption.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't tell him that. I've been told from the peanut gallery that I should not have told you that. So forget that I told you
that I won't know anything.
Yeah, that you won't know anything.
That's not a surprise to anyone, including me.
So I guess go ahead. I'm drinking one of the whiskeys we had with the ladies. It's a smoky, nice, delicious endeavor called Lafroy.
Oh, I love Lafroy.
It sort of ties into the episode I didn't tell you I recorded yesterday. So for those who listen, they'll know why I'm drinking Lafroy. Chris has no idea.
Other than it's delicious,
yeah,
in my opinion. So I'll say they've all been poured out, and right now I'm seated about 2 feet from them, and I'm just getting this general delicious woodsy kind of whiskey smell.
That's good.
That's kind of nice. A little appetizer. Okay, cool. So should I go ahead and taste the first one?
Yeah, give it a taste. Tell me what you think.
So, and the goal here is to see if after, I don't even know, 14 episodes. How many episodes have we?
I don't know. I think we're up to like 14 or 15.
Yeah. So the goal is to see if I've learned anything.
Yeah, can Chris tell A, what country it's from? Can he tell what distillery it's from? Can he tell me if it's bourbon? Can he tell me if it's scotch or rye? Can you tell me if it's maybe even an Irish or a Japanese whiskey? What does Chris really know? That's the question.
All right. The answer is nothing. But if I'm suddenly becoming a whiskey expert, then our whole dynamic is ruined.
Well, hopefully it's like passively entered your heart and you'll just be like, oh, my heart tells me what this is.
Oh, that reminds me. I was going to say before we did any of this that my goal, I don't know if this is a wise goal or not, but my goal is to just tell you kind of the first thing that pops into my head and kind of the first instinct I have before I like second guess myself, you know,
mm-hmm.
before I say like, oh, is that right? Like my goal is to just say the first thing that I think.
I think that's smart.
Give you the purest Chris Rutt instinct possible.
Yeah, and we can suss it out more if you know, you really want to get into it, but I definitely think you should just go with your gut.
All right, here we go. I'm going to sniff it first.
All right.
I'm doing the Jack Mottman sniff.
Mine smells like campfire and woods and barbecue. Mm.
Yeah, so mine doesn't smell like any of that stuff. And my very first impression is like, this is what when I smell this, I think bourbon immediately. It smells like, apple and, like wood and maybe some brown sugar.
Talk to me about the color. What does it look like? You can even show it to me if you wanted to.
That's a good point. Okay. So here you go. Okay. I'm now FaceTiming the color to Jack. And similar, like this is what I think of, my totally untrained brain. This kind of color is what I think of when I think of, either just like straight whiskey or bourbon. It's just very golden, not super brownish, but a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, just got that like beautiful golden brownish color.
And you said
maybe a little, sorry.
What does that smell like?
It smells like bourbon.
Okay.
Maybe rye. Because maybe there's some spice. I don't know. All right. I'm going to taste it.
Good. Meanwhile, back in Eagle Rock, California, mine tastes of a nice coal oven. Maybe like some charcoal. Maybe cooking some meat.
Oh, so Chris, I've tasted it.
Okay.
Man, this is gonna be bad. I'm still going. It's sweet. I don't know if it's vanilla, but it's like sweet, fruity, sugary. There's something else though that's like super interesting that I was not expecting.
Tell me more about that.
I cannot place it. It's almost like a kind of slightly artificial, kind of like slightly bitter taste. I don't know. See, so now I'm wondering if it's a rye.
Oh, what makes you think rye?
And the reason I'm wondering if it's rye is because it's like kind of, that thing that I guess you would call spicy. Like it's not really Christmas spice, but it's not also not really hot spice. It's kind of just like, got a tangy, spicy thing going on in the back end that kind of just like smacks you in the mouth.
Okay.
Not necessarily alcohol.
Pleasant or unpleasant?
I don't know. It's when with the front end that's like sweet and kind of apple sugary,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of jarring.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I don't know that it's unpleasant per se, but it is a little bit jarring. Like, if I was taking a drink of something that was like a sweeter whiskey or a bourbon, I was surprised. So when I smelled it, I was thinking, this is bourbon. It smells appley and woodsy and sugary.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I tasted it, I was like, oh, what's that?
Okay.
This, this very interesting thing on the back end. It's just like really sweet up front, and then it's this interesting thing that kind of blunts it out on the back.
Very interesting. Okay, now it looked like your wife poured the full pour into each glass, and I want to warn you, don't drink all of it.
Okay, I won't. I will not. I will save that.
You have four of them to go through, and I don't want you to be sloshed.
That is a great point. All right. So I need to just jump off the cliff here, right?
Yeah, of course, you can change your mind. You can come back to it. But I would love to hear what you think it is off the bat.
Okay, I'm going to say it's a rat.
Okay, cool.
And I have no idea where it's from or what distillery it is, or how I would even go about discerning such a thing.
Well, in rye, we really haven't jumped into hard. So yeah, I don't blame you for not knowing if it's a rye, what kind of rye.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you, Jack.
What's up?
Aside from just having had it before, is there any way... is there anything that you think of when you're like, huh, where is this thing from?
It's usually, like, for me, it's the grain. So if I taste corn, then I'm like, this has got to be a bourbon. And corn is often sweet. If I taste, like, that thing you call the scotch taste, I think that's usually barley. And that makes me think scotch or maybe Irish. And it gets a little fuzzy, especially with Japanese, because they could be anything. And then the spicy, like you said, if it's spicy, like that, not like kind of baking spice thing, then yeah, I do think rye. That's one of the first things I think.
Okay. And like, what do you mean when you say spicy? Because I'm having a little bit of trouble defining it. It's definitely not like the Christmas spice thing, you know?
Yeah. It's like rye bread. It's got a spice to it. It's like the reason it goes well with cheese. Like it's got like a kind of bitter punch.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, bitter punch. Yeah, which is sometimes appealing, you know, because it like complicates that sweetness a little bit. I like that, the bitter punch. That makes a lot of sense to me.
So you're going rye. So then it's American probably. Okay, cool. Are you ready to go to the next one? How are you feeling?
Good. Let's do it.
You got any water over there?
I don't. Hold on, I can get some.
You should get some water. Take a sip.
I am cleansing my palate.
Okay, so maybe we can insert this. Based on number one, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay, would you say the palate is sweet, salty, sour, bitter, or umami?
Have we ever talked about umami?
No.
I mean, the only frame of reference I have for umami is Umami Burger. But I think that's like savory, right?
Yeah, that's what people say.
Not necessarily salty, but maybe like mushrooms or something?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Buttery mushrooms?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, definitely not that. Sweet, for sure. And then bitter on the back end is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, I've got some more questions, but we'll go to the next one. So go to that next whiskey.
So color again, this one is in a different glass.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how that will affect me. Probably not at all. this one's darker.
Yeah.
Like kind of reddish.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of like an IPA, like a double IPA, like a dark IPA, reddish tinge color.
Nice.
So it's beautiful. I love the look of this one.
What do you get off the nose? What do you smell?
Okay. Wow, this is so interesting because compared to the first one,
mm-hmm.
It's so much more subtle.
Oh, interesting.
I just put my nose back in the first one, by the way, and got like huge brown sugar, vanilla stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, This one smells so much more subtle. I'm going to really stick my nose in here. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting like vanilla on this one. It definitely smells sweet as well.
Okay, I'm going to list off some sweet options. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Vanilla, coconut, caramel, maple, butterscotch, cereal, honey, fig, raisin, chocolate, corn syrup.
Wow, that's a lot. I would say anything on like the baked good side of things.
Okay.
So like vanilla, what did you say, like molasses or
yeah, syrup? Caramel.
Like that's caramel.
Raisin.
Yeah, I would say all of that stuff. So I remember my very first initial impression of the first one was like, whoa, apple.
Mm-hmm.
Like some sort of fruit. And this one is more like baked goods.
Okay.
Also like if it's spicy, it's like the clovey type of spice, you know, like brown sugar, molasses, that sort of thing.
Cool.
So I don't know. Again, I think bourbon.
Okay.
Because of all that stuff.
All right. What does it taste like?
Chicken time? All right. Completely different.
Okay. We've got contrast.
Yeah. I think maybe, I don't know. I'm already second guessing myself because now that I'm sipping it, now that I'm sipping it, it's got like, I taste more of the fruit, maybe like apple or pear because of that. It's got like kind of that tangy sour thing going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think all the other things I said, the baked good stuff, like all that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
There's like really strong tangy fruity up front. And then it kind of mellows out into like this brown sugary baked good deliciousness.
Okay. Like sweet baked good or like, you know, savory bread.
Definitely sweet.
Okay. Like a cinnamon roll?
Yeah. Yeah. Although I don't know if it's cinnamon in particular, but yeah, okay. Like a sweet, gooey, molasses-y type thing. So cool. I definitely want to call this a bourbon.
Okay.
I'm not getting quite as much of the whatever I thought I was tasting with the last one that made me want to call it a rye. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I wonder what I would think of this one if I had had it first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I would think it was still a bourbon for sure, just because it has that, it has all those delicious, sugary, vanilla-y flavors to it. I'm going strong bourbon.
Yeah. Those are like classic bourbon flavors. Those are what people often say bourbon tastes like.
All right. I'm going strong bourbon.
All right. Strong bourbon.
I'm diving in. Strong bourbon. Between the two.
Yeah.
I prefer the second one a little bit more.
Okay.
Just because it's a bit more of a, especially when you taste it, it's a stronger experience. It's a more kind of like, I would say a fuller experience.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
The first one was just kind of, it's not bad. By any stretch of the imagination, not a bad whiskey at all. But it was kind of like sweet. And then this interesting thing that kind of blunted it. And so it was a little confusing, whereas this one just kind of like fills your mouth and you kind of know where it's going. And that's exactly where it goes.
Cool.
It's like that film where you sit down and you watch it and it tells you where it's going to go. And then it goes there. And maybe it's a little uninteresting because of that, but you kind of love it for going exactly where it told you it was going to go, you know?
So it is what it advertised.
It is what it is, for sure. And I think it does it well. I like that one.
Cool.
I like that one a lot. Yeah.
So let's take a break between two and three and ask you about some of your favorite whiskeys you had on the show. Do you have any memorable whiskeys from this Three Blind Drinks experiment?
Oh man. Probably so here are the ones that stick out in my mind. The Port Cask whiskey that we had in the very first episode that will never be named, that will never see the light of day.
Right.
I can't remember the name of it. What was it called?
Yeah, I don't know. But I know what you're talking about.
We had a flight, yep. Right? And there, and yeah.
It's the one we liked. We called it Peachtree. That's what I remember, is we called it Peachtree.
On the tip of my tongue, but I cannot. Whistle Pig Old World.
Oh, yeah, Old World.
Stands out in my head. I mean, the scotches are all kind of, like, I one of the things that's happened to me over the course of the last, gosh, have we been doing this a year?
Oh, more than a year now.
Oh, my gosh. Time flies, especially when you're locked in your house.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that's happened to me is I realized I just love that, like, scotch thing.
Hmm.
You know, there's times when I'm not in the mood for it. You know, there's times when I really want bourbon.
Right.
Something sweet, you know. But I think particularly, I promise to only use the word context half a dozen times in this episode. particularly when I'm doing something artistic or kind of ruminative, like reading a book or, mm-hmm. you know, watching a movie, watching like a film I really enjoy. And I want to have something that like, I want to kind of savor and spend time with. Then I've really come to enjoy scotch quite a bit. But they're kind of blending together for me. What are some of your favorite scotches we've had, Jack?
Some of the sherry casks we had were really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one you mentioned, Peachtree, that one stuck out for me so much that, right. Like, I remember that we had it again with Luke, and then Luke kept it, and then he proceeded to keep drinking it.
And I remember, well, we got to really, find out what that was.
Yeah, that was really good. Yesterday I had one that I've heard about a lot, and I sort of assumed was a certain way, Artbeg Ugdal.
Oh, yeah.
When I had it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is changing what I think of Artbeg in general. And it really made me want to dive deeper into that world.
What did you think of Artbeg before? And then how did it kind of change?
So the original Artbeg, which I like and I have, is very smoky. It's like punchy in the face with peat, and it's good. Yeah. But it kind of is just like one thing. It's kind of got this Band-Aid thing that people talk about.
Yeah.
Burnt rubber. And it's like, I think it was one of the first whiskeys that I had with Erica where I was like intentionally seeking out Super Peat because it was on the menu. So I was like, ooh, I want to try that.
Yeah.
And so I assumed Ugdal would be the same, but it adds this like darker characteristic, almost bourbon-y, but it's like bourbon with peat. And it's kind of perfect. It's like you took the two and you married them, and it just works out really, really well.
Mm.
So it changed my idea that Artbeg had to be this iodine heavy, peaty, angry, in your face whiskey.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's really, really cool.
That's interesting. It's funny, when you said Band-Aid, I thought of the first whiskey that I just tasted.
Oh, interesting.
Like maybe that there was something kind of slightly artificial that kind of glossed over whatever natural flavors I was experiencing, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It never occurs to me, like I always try to reach out for like food metaphors, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With whiskey tasting and kind of describing the way things taste, but sometimes like non-food metaphors are so much more appropriate.
Yeah. I get that. Sometimes you need to go outside of like the normal to come back to it. Like,
right. Right. Yeah. That's cool. Right. I've never had Artbeg.
Yeah. We'll have to have it sometime soon.
Awesome. Okay. Number three. Question for you,
mm-hmm.
and it's about number three in particular. Here's what it looks like.
Oh yes, it's much lighter.
Very light, very yellow. kind of like a, you know, watered down apple juice color. And just when I see that color, I'm like, oh, that's scotch.
That's funny.
And being the uninformed so-and-so that I am, I have no idea if that there's any reason for that at all, or if that's just my some sort of crazy preconceived notion I'm bringing into this whole thing.
Maybe that's your heart coming into play.
Maybe that's my instinct. What do you think about that, Jack?
I like it. I think it's kind of fascinating that that's your association. I think I get it because bourbon tends to be darker and more brown. And I think maybe it does make sense that you would associate yellow with scotch.
Okay.
Because they often don't get as much color because the climate is much more temperate and you don't get as much in and out of the barrel.
Interesting.
The older scotches definitely get darker. And if you get any like wine cask finish, then you might get some color. But I think that makes sense to me.
So when you see a really dark whiskey, are you kind of immediately suspicious that it's from somewhere in the States?
Yeah, I am. Like, it's not always true. But
yeah, right. Of course.
It definitely is my first guess. Like reddish brown, I'm thinking, oh, it's got to be a bourbon.
Interesting. Okay. Which makes me think number two is a bourbon even more than I already did.
He accidentally helps him out.
What? What? All right. So I'm going to sniff this one.
Yeah. Give me some notes. What does it smell like?
Okay. So, oh man, I'm so suggestible, dude. So of course I want to say that it's got kind of that like peaty briny thing that I think of when I think of scotch.
Yeah.
Of course, because I was just talking about scotch. So I have no idea how much of that is me being super suggestible.
Sure.
But it's also got some really interesting fruity flavors. I think, I don't know why I'm so hard on the fruit right now, but.
All right. When you hear the fruit, you will like, tell me to stop.
Okay.
Apple, banana, pear, lemon, orange, grape, cherry, peach, berry, apricot.
Okay. I didn't tell you to stop because I'm not sure, but I want to say like pear or apricot, like something, and it probably has a lot to do with like the color.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I could close my eyes and never forget what color this whiskey is, I wonder how I'd be influenced. But yeah, maybe like apple, but definitely like a kind of brighter, tangier, kind of lighter flavored fruit. As opposed to something more dense, like, I don't know, banana or like dates or, you know, some sort of heavier, darker tasting fruit. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, it totally does.
And then I'm getting quite a bit of alcohol on this one, too. Slightly more than the other, so to say.
Okay. That's interesting, especially because it's the third that you note it.
Yeah. So, yeah, for whatever that's worth.
Let's hear what it tastes like, Chris.
All right.
Wants to know.
Here we go.
By the way, Laphroaig is still delicious.
Oh, I believe it. So, oh my gosh. I have no idea what this is.
Great. Great. I'm glad you have no idea. That's really compelling audio content.
All right, moving on. Yeah, it doesn't taste anything like I was expecting it to. Whatever like briny, peaty thing I was getting before is gone. It just tastes sweet. It just tastes sweet and like kind of artificially so, kind of like candy, you know?
Oh, okay. Like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not getting like any smoke at all.
Okay.
I haven't gotten any smoke on any of these. And yeah, the taste is just like super surprising to me. It's very, very sweet, but not like, it doesn't have that like maple or kind of charred sugar flavor to it. It's, which is why I think I say it tastes like candy to me.
Okay.
It's because it doesn't have any of that kind of like natural brown sugar flavor. It just tastes like sugar.
Okay, so it's like raw sugar, like uncooked sugar.
Yeah, like white sugar. Or yeah, like raw sugar.
Mm-hmm. What about floral? Anything floral or what else? I'm looking at a list of tasting notes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to say floral, but again, that could be just the color of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it has kind of that like faintly sweet, but again, like not at all like molasses or chocolate or anything like that. So to the extent that it's like, you know, light and crisp and sweet, kind of like, I don't know, like orange blossoms or something like that, you know,
yeah,
like that sort of floral. I have the best description of this one I can give you is I have no idea what it is.
Awesome. That's pretty funny.
I have no clue. Like this caught me completely off guard. Like I was, before tasting it, I was pretty sure it was scotch.
Okay. So what would you guess about this one?
Man, I mean, I don't know. Like maybe, like what if this was like a Japanese whiskey or something like that? Like what if it was something that was emulating a style of whiskey or like trying to like replicate a flavor of whiskey that was like created somewhere else. I don't know. I think what's tripping me up is that like it tastes, I mean, it just tastes like, it tastes like whiskey. It just tastes, it tastes like whiskey. So it doesn't taste like scotch. It doesn't taste like rye. It doesn't taste like a bourbon. It tastes like whiskey.
Okay.
But I have no idea which one.
No worries, man. That's kind of the fun of it is we're trying to see how far you've come or maybe you've backslid into oblivion.
Or maybe I am completely done for. Yeah. I'm going with just whiskey on this one.
Good enough.
Not that that's bad. Sure. I don't hate it. It tastes good. It's not particularly interesting to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not like, it's not like, it definitely wouldn't be one of those ones that after like 14 episodes, I would be talking about it. Like, oh, what was that one whiskey that we had? You know, like, this definitely disappears in a lineup, okay. In my opinion.
Okay.
Well, you want to cleanse that palate and go move yourself on?
Sure. I'm so fascinated to discover what I've done here.
It's becoming nice. It's got a good arc right now.
What about just a good old fashioned Irish whiskey? You know?
Yeah.
What defines like a good old fashioned Irish whiskey to you? Just like the straight Irish whiskey.
There's something buttery about Irish whiskey.
Oh, okay.
Almost like a butter cookie or
okay.
Kind of, it's got this crumbliness and this sort of softness to it.
Mm.
It's very easy and delicate and
Yeah. So not the like dark molasses brown sugar thing, but like a sugar cookie kind of.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm so suggestible. I'm not going to go back and say that's what I'm tasting here, but yeah, just like a straight whiskey. That's where I'm landed. Okay. I'm out of water. I'm going to go grab some re-cleanser. While I re-grab some water, another question for you, Jeff. What would you say is your favorite scotch right now?
Right now, in the realm of scotch, I am still very partial to Talisker. I have strong hankering for Brooklotti.
I don't know. Have I had that one?
I don't think so. I think we've talked about it a bunch, but I don't think we've actually had it. I watched that documentary, The Golden Dram, which is all about the guy that like bought the failing, maybe even going to close distillery and revitalized it and made it amazing.
Wow.
And that's really made me want to have one of those in the house. Can't really justify buying whiskey at this point, considering we do a whiskey podcast and I have most of them. But yeah, I've been kind of hankering that. And that's in the vein of Talisker, which has kind of been my favorite for a while.
Yeah.
But this Ardbeg I had yesterday was pretty eye-opening. And it was quite delicious. But even having Laphroaig right now is like, wow. Like, the like burnt ends kind of delicious meat flavor is quite compelling in Laphroaig.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the breakdown for me, again, whether it's fair or not, is really like, is it sweet or is it savory?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if it's savory, I tend to think of scotch. And if it's sweet, I tend to think of, you know, obviously bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And like the, you know, desire to have them is split along those lines as well. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm in the mood for something sweet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm in the mood for something savory right now. Like, it's definitely the difference between those two feelings. So
yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Number four.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I've said rye. I said bourbon. I said just regular old whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly Irish, but I don't know.
Right.
I threw that in right at the end because I had nothing else interesting to say about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one has a beautiful color.
Oh, look at that. It's like golden.
Yeah. I don't know if it's coming through for you, Jack, but like I'm getting like kind of a rose color too.
Oh, wow.
Like, especially when it thins out. It's very pretty.
That's great.
Yeah. Very pretty. So almost as dark as the third one that I called bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got this like softer pinkish hue to it, which is super interesting.
What do you smell?
I have no idea where that would come from. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Maybe like a floral, God, cause I said rose, like I should not be a whiskey. What do you call a sommelier for whiskey? Is there such a thing?
Some people call themselves sommeliers. I think other people just are like reviewers or tasters.
Okay. I should not be one of those because I'm so highly suggestible. but yeah, sweet, kind of like faintly floral, maybe slightly like fruity.
Okay.
So like a summery like tangy fruit, like I don't know, oranges or strawberries or something like that.
Okay.
And then there's something a little bit more subtle and profound below it, like dates maybe.
Ooh.
Or like fig.
Fun.
Yeah. Something on the lower end underneath all that bright fruitiness, floralness. But I don't think it's like brown sugar, vanilla, or molasses or anything like that. Something slightly different. I feel like I've had this one before.
Oh, really? Did you taste it?
No, I haven't, just off the smell. That's my instinct. I'm throwing it out there.
That's good to know. That's interesting.
But I have no idea why. All right. Tasting. Yeah, so this one tastes almost exactly like it smells, which is really cool. on the back end, it kind of like heats up and becomes this like roasty sweet type of thing.
Hmm.
I don't want to say smoky, but like kind of hinting in that direction. Not smoky, like roasty, maybe nutty.
Okay. That's interesting that you like are delineating between, I like that distinction between like it's not, it's like roasted. It's not necessarily smoky.
Yeah. 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 I think, you know, I think so. I think smoky would be like the actual smoke, obviously. Right.
Yeah.
But then roasty is like something that tastes better when you cook it too much,
mm-hmm.
you know, like almonds or pecans or something. When they get burnt, they're actually better tasting, you know, yeah. or coffee.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't smell like coffee. So this one's my favorite.
Oh, interesting.
And I think it's my favorite because it's just, it's really unique tasting to me. So when I taste it, I'm not immediately like, oh, this is a bourbon. I'm not immediately like, oh, this is a rye. I'm not immediately like, oh, this is a scotch. And that's probably because I'm not experienced and knowledgeable enough to like place it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't like, it doesn't strike me as like kind of the quintessential or sterling example of any of those things, you know?
Okay.
It's kind of like its own beast. So like really sweet, kind of tangy, like this interesting fruity, like strawberry orange flavor right up front.
Mm-hmm.
That's like really interesting to me. And then it like lingers for a while
mm-hmm.
in the mouth. It kind of heats up, alcohol wise, the longer it stays in your mouth, and then it ends in kind of this roasty sweetness thing. It's really nice. It's like a very interesting, it's like a very interesting journey. It kind of takes you to a few different places, but it feels like it all hangs together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like it's crafted.
Yeah, I really like it. And then just sitting here afterwards, I am like, still I'm getting that like smoky, roasty thing, whatever that is.
Yeah, that's cool.
Maybe like roasted marshmallows.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's like perfect.
That, you know? So, man, yeah. And so because of that, like, this is definitely the most unique one of the four, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one where I'm like, oh, I've never really tasted anything like that before, even though I said I've had this before.
Mm-hmm.
Of the four, it stands out.
Cool.
As being like the most unique and interesting expression of whiskey.
So if you had to pick where this might come from or where this might have originated, what would be your guess?
Man, it's so unique. So, I mean, it's not what I think of when I think scotch.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's not, obviously. But it's definitely not what I think of when I think of bourbon either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm going to say the first two are American. The third one is Irish. And the fourth one could literally be from anywhere. And I would not be surprised. It's very unique. I love it.
Okay. So just to recap for those of you keeping score, originally Chris said the first one was a rye. He never really strayed from that and he just kind of kept calling it a rye. Second one he called a bourbon several times and he thinks they're both American. The third one he didn't really know what to do with and he thought maybe that's because it was Japanese and it was trying to mimic something.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually he settled on Irish for number three after I told him about butter. And then for number four, he just refuses to give a guess. He just keeps saying it could be anything. Could come from anywhere, which really just tells us that the more Chris drinks, the less definitive he is.
That's definitely true. I'm going to say it's Canadian.
Oh, Canadian. Interesting.
Yeah. This fourth one is a Canadian. It's clearly a Canadian whiskey.
Perfect. I like the...
In my opinion.
I like the certainty with which you said that.
It just took me a while to get there. You know, eventually now that I see it, it's unmistakable.
Okay, so now I need you to use your mind palace for me.
Oh gosh. Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
So in your mind palace, you're gonna look around.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Sherlock would in the BBC version, you know, swipe around and look around and deduce and
oh, yeah.
figure things out. Here is your clue. Are you ready for your clue?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So no, we're no longer in the tasting and identifying realm of the program. We are now in the can Chris figure this out part of the program.
Yes.
Okay, so yes. Your clue reads as follows.
Okay.
Two of these whiskeys are siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is a cousin. But the very mm-hmm. other whiskey is where we all started.
Oh, God. All right. Two are siblings. One is a cousin. The very other one is where we all started.
That's right.
So
eloquently written by me.
I mean, that's good. I like the very other one. I think the very other one is the third one.
So number three is the very other?
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you say that?
And the only reason I'm saying that is because it is the one that I thought this is whiskey.
Okay.
Right. As opposed to with like the fourth one being like, I have no clue what this is, but it's really weird tasting and awesome. And the one that I was saying is rye and the one that I was saying is bourbon were rye and bourbon. That third one, I was just like, I think the reason I was having so much trouble at first is because I was just like, oh yeah, it's whiskey,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how broad the relations are, you know. It's a very clever clue because it could be, you know, it could be based on geographical location.
Mm-hmm.
It could be based on, like, whiskey type. It could be based on ingredients, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going to say the one where they all started is the third one.
Okay.
And I've already forgotten the rest of the clue.
So two of them are siblings.
Two of them are siblings.
And one is okay. a cousin.
One is a cousin. I mean, I have to say the first two are siblings and the fourth one's a cousin just because, you know, the first two taste very similar. You know, if I had to say... I would say that the first one was a rye and the second one was a bourbon, but I have no clue if that's actually right.
Okay.
But they have a lot of the same, they have a lot of the same flavor notes, right? So like, they both taste like kind of brown sugar to me, vanilla, that sort of thing. So like the kind of bourbon flavor profile. And then again, the fourth one, I just, like, it's just very interesting to me. I'm very interested to find out where that one is, where that one's from.
Okay. Okay. Here's another clue. Are you ready?
Yep.
You've had two of these whiskeys on the show before, and the other two I can guarantee you've had, but you haven't had them on the show.
Okay. All right. So the third one's Jameson.
You think the third one's Jameson? Okay.
I just can't. Part of the problem is I should have been keeping a journal this whole time. Like, I just can't remember. So sticking to what I told you right at first, that I was going to go with my gut.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say that one of the ones I've had before is the fourth one.
The fourth one is one you've had before?
Yeah. And that's just because that randomly jumped into my head while I was tasting it. I was like, I've had this one before. Although the question is, have I had it on the show before or not? I think it's interesting enough, and I think it's good enough that the fourth one is one I've had on the show before.
Okay.
I think, so Jameson's obviously the one that I have had, but haven't had it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one is also one that I've had, but I haven't had on the show. And I think it is, oh hell, what's it called? It comes in green and orange labels. One's a rye.
Bullet.
I think it's Bullet.
Okay.
And then that leaves the second one.
Right.
Which obviously I've had on the show before, but yeah, I have no idea what it is. And it's a bourbon. It's good. I like it.
Okay. Cool. So now we've narrowed it down. Chris has said that he now believes number three is Jameson. So he's sticking mm-hmm. to his Irish guns. He believes he's had number four on the show before. And he believes that he had number one, but not on the show. He thinks it's Bullet. And he believes mm-hmm. number two is a bourbon that he's had on the show, but he doesn't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to mastermind this now.
I don't even know what that means.
The game mastermind. You know, the red and black and...
No.
Oh, well, then that's not going to work. Let me tell you that you are right that one of them is Jameson, but it is not number three.
Oh, no. All right. Okay. Man, I don't know. I feel like it's got... Is it the first one?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Okay. You are right that number four is something you've had on the show. In fact, you listed it as one of the whiskeys you liked from the show when I asked you about ones you liked.
Is it the one that I can't remember its name?
Glenmorangie?
Yes.
La Quinta Ruban?
Yes. That's the one. Oh my gosh. I love it.
I love that you that's called amazing. It out. Number two is the cousin.
Okay.
And I would bet money you've had this in a bar or.
Okay.
You've definitely had it. And, we talked about it a lot when we hung out with Luke.
I don't know.
Do you remember who Luke was a brand manager for?
Oh, yeah. It's escaping me at the moment, but I do remember that.
Luke was a brand manager for Woodford Reserve.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And that's number two.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
So number three, let me suss out those clues for you. So number three is not Jameson, and it's a sibling of number four.
Okay.
So if it's a sibling, that might suggest that it has the same parent, which means it comes from the same distillery.
Which means it's Glenmorangie.
Yep.
Wow.
Original 10.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So which is where this whole thing started.
Dude, I love it. That's brilliant. And of course, now that I know that, I can taste it all.
Right. So like, it is interesting that I think the order screwed you up a little bit because having the Glenmorangie directly after the Woodford, it probably did taste like nothing.
Yeah. Totally.
But you, so I took some notes and I think you actually maybe even duplicated some notes from the very first time you tasted some of these because you had a lot of the same things to say about Quinta Ruban.
Interesting. That's crazy.
And the fact that you liked it so much. Like you couldn't say what it was, but you far and away said, that's my favorite. That's the one I like the best.
Yeah.
And when I asked you some of your favorites before you even tasted it, you called that one out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and true to form, like, obviously it didn't, I didn't remember what it tasted like, right? Like, I only remembered that I really, really liked it, and I found it really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And true to form, like, yeah, the Quinto Ramon is the most interesting of these four, while also just seeming like a perfect coherent thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not just interesting for the sake of interesting. It's actually like really well crafted.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel like that's kind of like the gold standard of any sort of art. It's like, oh, this is different and it hangs together and it feels like it's always kind of been a thing, you know?
Yeah.
But particularly with whiskey, like when you can pull that off, when you can pull off like, oh, I've never tasted this before and there should be something that tastes like this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
that's kind of like the gold standard. I'm going to go on record. You ready?
Yeah.
Jameson is great.
There is a reason we all had it first.
It's been a long time, and this is not bad.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good.
Like, it is. It's really good. Yeah.
And I think you nailed it when you were talking about it. You said it ends in something artificial.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe why a lot of us move on from it. It's mm-hmm. a great introduction and it's sweet and it's tasty and it's a great mixer and it's just really good. But after a while you kind of get sick of that artificial taste in your mouth and you don't want that to be the ending.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not quite as sophisticated as the others. Maybe it shows that it's a little bit of a more inexpensive whiskey towards the end. You know, it's up front with a lot of flavor and then it kind of ends with something that's a little bit, you know, not quite as pleasing and not quite as interesting, but yeah, it's not knowing what any of these are, you know, it probably was my least favorite of the three, but not by much.
Yeah,
not by much.
Well, like you said, like, if you are in a sweet mood, I could totally see going for Jameson or a Woodford, you know, some, you know, like if you don't necessarily want like baked goods and like, you know, sitting by the fire, reading a book, like I could see just having Jameson like at 7 PM with a little soda. Like that sounds great.
Yeah.
Especially in this hot summer.
Woodford, I need to stop sipping these because otherwise I'll be incoherent by the end of this episode. But Woodford still is just such a full experience.
Yeah.
Wow. Like it really just like fills up your mouth and like lasts for a really long time. And like, you know, it's there. It's just very, an impressive whiskey.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. That's great. Jack, this is brilliant, man. Thank you. Thank you so much, dude.
Oh, it was fun. I'm glad it was really fun to hear your thoughts. And I enjoyed knowing and I enjoyed trying really hard not to prompt you because I was very tempted to be like, you think it maybe could be, it was very challenging to not give you clues and hints along the way.
You did a great job, man. You did what it's hardest for me to let my children do. And that is let them fail. Right? Just like, go out, do your thing, try it, don't do very well, and that'll be fine. You'll learn something. You know?
Yeah.
It's great. My own self-assessment is that our dynamic is not ruined.
Good.
I still know nothing. However, I feel like I'm very consistent in kind of knowing my own taste, which is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, even when they're super wrong, I still am kind of consistent in being like, oh, I like this for this reason. You know what I mean? So that's really weird.
Yeah, I was really introduced to this idea when I watched the documentary Somme. And there's all these montages of them trying things. And they have all these you know, crazy mnemonics, that word I can't say, to remember things, you know, like fresh cut tennis balls and like hose and like all these things. And I learned after watching that documentary actually more than once that those things don't mean anything, but it means something to them. Like, so I think if we taste enough, you taste enough, so that roasted marshmallows mean something to you, you can better like use that as a memory, because it's really knowing your own taste buds. Because if you know that means, oh, that's probably a scotch, but it's a little bit older, and maybe it's like sherry cask finish or port cask finish, or like you can start to associate those things with something that helps you get there.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's not about being right. It's about helping yourself get there.
Right. Yeah, totally. That's a great point.
I think at the end of the day, it's not really about knowing what you're drinking. It's about whether or not you enjoy it. And so like if you prefer something with an ice cube in it or more water or mixed with soda or ginger beer or whatever, like that's the way you should drink it. Like it should be whatever gets you going and excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Dude, I'm buying a bottle of Quinta Ramon. That's the moral of the story there.
Yeah, I think you should. It is delicious.
All right, man. I'm so excited to return the favor, and I'm fully expecting you to Sherlock Holmes the whole series.
Okay.
But yeah, let's do that soon.
Yeah.
I'm excited to witness your tasting wizardry. but thanks for this, man. This was super, super fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Really appreciate it. All right, brother. Be well, man. Good to hear you.
You too. Have a good day.
As always, people drink slowly and get to know each other. Thanks, Jack.
All right. Talk to you later, Chris.